still want you.
Hello, brother. I'm Grace.
Hello, brother. I'm Stephanie.
And this is Doppelgangers. Today, we're talking about season 7, episode 19 of The Vampire Diaries, which is called Somebody That I Used to Know.
Bonenzo Act!
It is a big Bonenzo episode, finally.
Finally. I've been waiting. I would say I've been patient, but that's not true.
Yeah, you haven't even been patient.
I've been really mean about it.
You've been really impatient.
Yeah.
But we finally got it. It's a fun episode. The Bonenzo stuff is obviously great, but let me tell you, there's a lot in here that doesn't make sense plot-wise and timeline-wise. And I know we're harping on the timeline a lot this season, but I have to. If you don't want me to harp on the timeline, don't show me a calendar, Julie Plec. Because there's a calendar in this episode, and it's got a big clue that really throws off some of the other dates. Let's say that.
Like, they're giving too much information about the timeline and too little. Like, you either need to pick a timeline and stick with it in a logical way, or just not put any dates anywhere and just be like, it all fits, trust us.
Yeah, this time jump is really exposing timeline issues, because I think usually in earlier seasons, it wasn't always so laid out, like, oh, it's been a month or it's been a week.
Yeah.
You know? But it's never bothered us because it's never mattered.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, it might be Christmas time or it's the beginning of the school year. Like, that's enough. I'm fine.
And this episode, too, it's like, oh, my God, how many different cities do we need to go to? And I know it's a montage, but even before we get to the montage, it's like Asheville to Dallas to wherever the fuck this cabin is. It's like, how much time are you guys spending traveling right now?
It's because they're all spread out. And that's the other thing about, again, timeline. I think this speaks to a larger issue of the show, is they haven't had a good villain in a while and the plot lines are just not there. So the only way they're able to raise the stakes is by putting like a time limit on things. But then it's like, I'm sorry, if it takes 48 hours for this to leave her body, why are we driving everywhere?
We just did 48 hours to save Stefan. It's like, great. We saved Stefan. It seems they got like 12 hours. And I was like, it's 48 hours again before they can find her. And then before we even finish out those 48 hours, Bonnie has a week. It's like, oh my God.
It's like, can't we just like,
let me get my planner out. Okay.
Yeah. I need to make a timeline. Anyway, we've got a lot to get into this week. I'll start as always by reading the synopsis from Vampire Diaries Wiki. When Enzo's efforts to protect Bonnie end up putting her life in jeopardy, they learn that Reyna may hold the key to her survival. We'll get into that.
Maybe.
With time running out and Reyna at the reins, do we have to? Enzo and Bonnie reluctantly team up with Damon, who is desperate to save Bonnie's life and to repair their broken friendship. Elsewhere, when Stefan travels to Dallas and comes face to face with Alaric, tensions escalate and they are forced to confront the fallout from Stefan's absence in Caroline's life. Finally, Enzo learns the Armory's true motives behind their search for Bonnie.
Ish.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't think we got all the information yet.
We open the episode at Whitmore 3 years ago, another damn flashback.
I guess we somehow still weren't ready for the time jump. But I don't care, because this is a Bonnie and Enzo-centric flashback. So it's like, great, I can watch these.
That's the thing. At first, it's like, oh, God, another flashback. And then it's like, okay, you know what? Bonenzo, I actually wanted background on this, so thank you.
Yeah.
I would have preferred this to endless Stefan and Valerie flashbacks, but you know what? I'm happy this is later, so now I can leave with this taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I can scrub that out of my mind.
Bonnie is packing up the dorm at Whitmore, because Caroline has moved to Dallas, and Elena is in her coffin. We can see her, like, you know, packing up pictures and other memorabilia. She also packs the letter that Damon wrote her when he desiccated. And as she leaves the room, we can see that Caroline and Elena and Bonnie carved their initials into the door frame.
I just about burst into tears.
I can't do this. They were having so much fun in college. And then Lily damn Salvatore.
Yeah, Lily Salvatore had to ruin it by being a bitch.
Yeah. Bonnie walks a box down the hall, and then there's like people walking around, and it becomes clear to us that they're Armory people, because they've got a ton of guns and they're all wearing cargo pants.
Yeah.
Whatever. And how they just walk around campus like that legally, not my business, I guess. Bonnie hides from the people, because even though she doesn't know it's the Armory at first, like, it's a big group of people walking. And if I were going to kidnap someone personally, I wouldn't be stomping my feet the way they are. And it's like 10 of them. How many of you are needed to take down Bonnie?
Even if I didn't know it was someone after me, that many people walking in a group. No, I'm hiding. I'm all by myself. Sorry, social anxiety.
Exactly.
I'm hiding in a corner.
They all go upstairs. And then Enzo grabs Bonnie and Vampire runs her to a hiding place and shushes her. The armory people like hear some noises. They look around. Enzo hides her and Bonnie says, hey, what's going on? And Enzo says, Alex told the army to bring you in. I'm not going to let them. And Bonnie says, oh, thank you. And then Enzo immediately injects her with something to knock her out.
Which, you know, at first I was like, wait, he's not still waiting for the army. And I was like, no, we're about to get Bonanza. That's what's happening this episode. But to be fair to Bonnie, she wouldn't have shut her mouth.
She wouldn't have.
Not that she's wrong for that, but Enzo did kind of need to knock her out to get her out of there. All the love in the world.
Yeah, she would have put up a little bit of a fight, and really it's in her best interest to not do that.
Yeah.
But she's in a fighting mood after Damon desiccated. So you know what, Enzo, you're right for that.
I can't blame her for her mood, but I can't blame Enzo for the correct reaction to it.
Exactly. Enzo says, thank me when this is over, love.
And she's out cold. She didn't hear you, buddy.
Exactly. We go to the Asheville psych ward today. Bonnie is packing up her room because she's done being undercover.
And what a nice doctor that he's helping her pack up.
I know. If I was the nurse at the psych ward, I'd be like, he is not a fucking doctor.
The orderlies are like, what is going on?
Enzo says, do you feel well enough to travel? Because the minute those anti-magic pills wear off, Alex will be able to track you again. And Bonnie says, I feel fine. I don't feel sick at all. I don't understand any of this. And Enzo says, oh, come here, love. And they hug. And Bonnie says, I can't believe this is happening. And Enzo says, it's not. Well, it is.
It is. And, you know, we're working on it, but it's certainly happening.
Enzo says, this is just a series of unfortunate events leading to your ultimate salvation. I swear. There's a knock at the door. And Bonnie says, do I have to open that? And Enzo says he wants to help. And honestly, we could use it because I have no plan.
And so it's like, I mean, we might as well. He's already here. And he's kind of our best friend.
Literally. Sorry, I hate to tell you this.
We're mad right now, but let's be honest. We're going to take him back in.
He said, look, Bonnie, as someone who's watched this group from the outside, you're going to forgive Damon. Everyone always does.
He said, now I don't get it either, but I've observed it.
I agree. Sometimes they shouldn't, but I'm telling you, it's going to work out that everyone forgives him, including you. Bonnie opens the door to Damon, and Damon says, I have an idea. Way to make yourself useful right away. Bonnie says, no, you don't speak to me. You speak to Enzo. If you have any ideas to keep me from dying, I'm sure he'll be happy to hear them, but I don't want to hear one word from your mouth directed at me. You lost the right to my attention when you decided to leave without saying goodbye. And then she turns to Enzo and says, you're driving, he can follow.
Damon's like, I'm taking a different car.
Damon said, you don't want the flowers?
Damon said, I went all the way to Costco for these.
Yeah. All the way to the clearance section.
Yeah.
Then we go over to Dallas. New location again. Each scene a new location. We can see Stefan knocking at the door. And it's funny because at first you can only see his shadow, but you see his hair and it's like, oh, he's here.
Yeah.
Rick answers the door. And Stefan says, hi. And Rick says, whatever has gone wrong, I really can't do another escapade today. And Stefan says, oh, no, no escapades, no scar, no running from Reyna. Thanks for your help with that, by the way. And Rick says, yeah, I didn't have a choice, but you're welcome. And Stefan says, anyway, I was hoping I could speak to Caroline.
I mean, you might as well try.
Yeah. Rick says, well, she's not here right now. And Stefan says, oh, could I? And Rick says, yeah, sure, come in. Stefan says, thanks. Rick's better than me. I wouldn't have invited his ass in.
Yeah, if I was Rick, I'd be like, let's go to a coffee shop. Like, I'm sorry, I'm so against being with supernatural stuff. I'm certainly not opening how many vampires are in the house. Although, wait, didn't Damon get in the house like 2 weeks ago?
He got invited in.
Oh, I thought he was in the kitchen when Rick came down.
No, he was at the door when Rick came down. And then Damon said, aren't you going to invite me in?
Okay.
But it's good to ask questions because they are dropping shit like this.
Yeah. They're not keeping the same quality control as they did.
Exactly. Because to be fair, most of them are vampires at this point.
And the inviting in thing, it's just a small complication when they're trying to figure out how to deal with all the other stuff they've thrown at the wall this season.
Exactly. We go over to Enzo's car. And Enzo and Bonnie are talking. And Enzo says, you know, the odds of us getting through this without a single word being spoken Not good. And Bonnie says, okay, well, lots of words can be spoken. I just don't want him to speak any to me.
She said, you're literally just going to be the go-between. You love me, right? Do it.
Don't complain. Enzo says, I thought we got past the anger stage. And Bonnie says, we did. We were blissfully not angry because we had moved on from Damon and his selfish, narcissistic existence. But when someone who you have erased from your mind has the audacity to show up at your door with flowers and not even your favorite flowers. Enzo laughs, but no, she's right to call that out. The very least he could do is get her favorite flowers.
She's like, he couldn't even remember, like, a flower I liked. Please.
Exactly. Bonnie hits Enzo for laughing and says, yeah, not my favorite flowers. Just want to reiterate that because that is egregious. Anger returns. Anger floods. I am flooded.
And you can't blame her for this. He pissed her off.
Yeah. She needs to make him at least, like, he needs to just apologize a lot more.
Unfortunately, you do have to say, I'm sorry, like upwards of 20 times.
It is like Vanderpump Rules. You will be let back into the group, but you have to apologize and eat shit for a while.
Yeah, you have to take your lashings before you are officially taken back in. You know you will be.
Yeah, take it from Christian Doty. You can bounce back from anything if you just apologize enough.
Yeah, if you just are always there. And every time you see people, you apologize. Sure, they'll run away from you and throw a drink in your face a few times, maybe hit you.
But eventually, they'll get bored.
Eventually, you'll be out to lunch again like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Me, to Damon, I would have started with a better bouquet as the baseline. But, you know, I think he knew the odds of that bouquet being taken were low. He didn't want to spend too much.
Yeah. They arrived to a cabin. And Damon pulls up behind them because he did drive in a separate car. And Damon says, well, this is quaint. Let's not joke right now. Let's be complimentary.
Be happy that they let you follow them to a place.
Exactly. Enzo says, we'll be safe here for a few hours. I've kept this place off the grid for years. And Damon says, lonely, cramped, like a prison cell. I can see why you like it. Again, let's not make a joke about the prison cell. You left him in.
We're not quite there yet, Damon. I know you're here to apologize, but you haven't made too much of a dent yet. So let's ease into the jokes about prison cells.
Yeah, please. Bonnie says, you know what? He's welcome to go back to his musty old mansion far away from here. Damon says, and miss the chance to see this den of iniquity? No. They go inside and Damon says, ooh, cozy. It's a big step moving in with someone. It's like, okay.
And Bonnie says, I know, that's why I did it.
Yeah. Damon says, all right, let's do it. Where are you hiding that pesky little huntress? And Enzo says, Storm Cellar, follow me. And they go. While they go to see Reyna, Bonnie picks up a fireplace poker, which causes her to reminisce on 3 years ago at the cabin.
This very cabin.
Yes. Bonnie comes to from the poison Enzo injected her with. And she sees the fire built and she gets up. Enzo comes in. Bonnie grabs the fireplace poker and tries to fight him. Doesn't work. So then she tries to run. Doesn't work. So then she says Modus, but of course she can't do magic because Enzo's not a dumb fuck.
So 0-3.
Yeah, not a good start. But she did just wake up.
Yeah.
Enzo says, you're not a prisoner, Bonnie. I'm just trying to keep you safe.
You're not a prisoner. I just knocked you out to bring you here.
Yeah. And we're in the middle of the woods, so you don't really have anywhere you can go.
Yeah.
I'm not giving you my nice ass old station wagon.
But trust me, we're good. I know it looks suspicious right now, but we're good.
Bonnie says, oh yeah, you got a funny way of showing it. Secluded cabin, anti-magic sedative. Enzo says, to keep you hidden from the armory, all right? I don't know why they want you, but they want you. And in my experience, when they're being dodgy about what they want, it's because they want it for dodgy purposes.
Good read on people.
Good read. Bonnie says, I thought you worked for them. And Enzo says, well, my allegiance is to myself.
Finally.
Yeah, about time.
His allegiance is usually to whoever is pissing him off the most.
Yeah. Enzo says it's simpler that way. What you should want to know is why you're important to Alex. In exchange for protection, plus complimentary room and board, you're going to do some research for me, college girl. Sift through these and figure out why the armory is so desperate to get their hands on you. And Bonnie says, aw, can Enzo not read? Which is a joke, but realistically, can he?
You know, if anyone couldn't, it would be him, considering his history.
Yeah, he was dropped off at a workhouse at 4, and then he was pretty much about to die on a ship. And then he was locked up for 50 years, and I know Professor Whitmore wasn't giving him books.
Well, he certainly wasn't, especially because Professor Whitmore was like cutting his eyes open all the time. So
yeah,
if anything, like, it's just a waste of the book.
Exactly. Maggie could have taught him how to read, but
you know, if I'm a prisoner and the one person who's there is hot and I can't read, I'm not going to open with that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, hey, could you teach me to read? I'm 100 years old.
After a certain point.
Why learn?
I mean, he must be texting.
He is texting. That's true. So he must know how.
He must know how to read. But the point is, it is iffy.
Yeah, she's joking, but it is a question we should ask.
If he couldn't read, it wouldn't be like insane.
Yeah. Enzo doesn't answer the question because it is a joke. But he says, while I'm away keeping up appearances with the armory, if you take one of these every day, you'll be safe. And it's one of those pills. He says you'll be hidden from locator spells. So this tells us that she's been taking these pills for 3 years, which is as long as Mary Louise was.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Louise was looking a lot worse for wear.
Maybe they gave Mary Louise more stuff, or maybe she wasn't eating enough as a vampire.
I was going to say maybe Bonnie is a little bit more nourished, but it's good to know how long she's been taking the pills. Bonnie says, oh, like if I don't. And Enzo says, I'm sure Alex has a cozy little cell waiting for you. And Bonnie says, hey, why are you doing this? And Enzo says, maybe I'd rather see you alive than dead. Maybe I'm just curious about the armory's plans. Maybe I'm just showing you common decency, and I can tell you're not used to that. And Bonnie says, okay, say I take up the protection for now. Like, if I stay here, I'm going to set the ground rules. And Enzo says, okay, I expect nothing less. Also, what ground rules are you going to set?
Enzo's like, that's fine by me. Like,
I'm going to have a friend.
I have one friend hanging out in this cool cabin I own. I have a job. I kind of have a family, even though I don't really fuck with them. But that seems to be how most people are with their family anyway.
It's like, and I have a guitar here.
Yeah, things are kind of coming up Enzo regardless.
Especially comparatively.
Yeah.
We go to today at the cabin. Bonnie puts the poker back and she like takes the letter from Damon out of her bag and looks at it again.
I was looking at this letter.
Yeah, never throwing it in the fire. We go to the storm cellar where Rain is being kept. She's tearing pages out of books, writing notes, some shapes, some words. She's writing very frantically.
Yeah.
And Damon says, hey, what the hell's wrong with her? And Enzo says her brain is full of visions. She's still got mystical connections to all those vampires who escaped the Phoenix Stone. It's made her a little loony. So we were all under the impression, or at least maybe I was. We were all under the impression that, like, by and large, the Phoenix Stone souls went into human bodies.
Mm-hmm.
We were also under the impression, based on what happened with Joe, because Joe could not ingest vampire blood, or Florence.
Mm-hmm.
Florence in Joe's body could not ingest vampire blood. So we're under the impression that if someone woke up in the corpse of a human, they couldn't turn into a vampire. They couldn't transition. So it's unclear how there are so many vampires. Like, obviously, we know that Ambrose got lucky because there happened to be a vampire corpse nearby.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, why are there so many fucking vampires? We were under the impression that they were mostly humans who would largely die off on their own.
Yeah, especially, I don't know, through this whole episode, I'm like, okay, there are a lot, but maybe she's killed like a really big number of people. And the area was pretty wide. And so like, maybe, you know, we have like 15, 20 vampires, whatever. That's kind of the amount we're looking at in this episode. And I'm like, okay, that's a little high, but I can suspend disbelief. By the end of the episode, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
There's not this many vampires. This is just ridiculous. You guys forgot the lore.
Yes. Or you just ignored it. And that's the thing. Like, I wish then they at least addressed it. Because again, we've been dealing with this Phoenix Stone for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
And we've dealt with people getting in human bodies twice now. We need to address like, oh, I guess they must have turned because, you know, like, at least say why there's so many of them. And also because they kill at least one in daylight. We know that daylight rings are rare. What if you wake up in a vampire corpse and then you burn? It's just like, we're losing some of the detail here.
Yeah.
And I know that like, they're doing this because it's like a fun montage. It does get the band back together by killing a lot of vampires. But also then it's like, now you're teaming up with this woman who wanted you dead. And I get that we're doing it for Bonnie, but it's like, I can see what they're trying to do here, but it requires you to ignore like known pieces of information in a way that is just like not what this show usually does.
Yeah, things are usually thought through a little bit more than that. And I'm okay with some ridiculousness. I can suspend a good bit of disbelief. Like I said, this whole episode, I was like, okay, well, you know, here's a justification I could make up. Like, are they even thinking about it? It feels like they're not.
Yeah, or they're like, no one's really gonna think that hard about it. It's like, no, I am. I have a podcast. I physically have to.
Or it really is. Like, I wonder if they are just like, I wish we had not shown that, like, Joe couldn't become a vampire.
Yeah.
Because, like, she couldn't ingest vampire blood to heal, and they didn't try, like, killing her after that, but, like, she died.
And at the very least, it feels like what they should have done is be like, it's not Joe, we need to kill her. Like, they could have commented on the reason why they're not trying.
Or if she was like, I don't deserve to be alive, like the Hellstone got her. But I think the issue is, I don't think they had the whole season mapped out in the same way.
Yeah.
Like, usually they have those kind of ideas in mind already, so they've already reverse engineered the rules so it fits. It seems like they wanted to know you could get back in a body from the Phoenix Stone. They wanted us to think Jill was alive, but then also she can't stay alive because Candace is pregnant.
They don't want to pay Jody Lynn O'Keefe.
Yeah. So they kind of had to get rid of her, but like there were other ways to deal with it if this is the montage you wanted to go with. But I think they probably thought of like Reyna and, you know, had the bones of it. But I don't think they realized just how ridiculous this many was.
Yeah. Raina says, I'm right in front of you. You don't have to talk about me in the third person. And Dame says, okay, Kooky Pants, we're here to broker a deal.
Damon says, I mean, you're scribbling on a bunch of pages. I wasn't 100% sure you were listening.
Yeah, let's be honest. Reyna says, I already told Enzo I don't know how to help your friend. And Damon says, yeah, and Enzo is the kind of guy who will take no for an answer. But me, I'm stubborn, I'm willful, and I'm bossy, and I usually get what I want. So let me ask you this. What if you had a little help brooming out all those runaway prisoners, a hit squad, if you will? Reyna says, I'm listening, because I'm in a storm cellar. I have nowhere to go.
She's like, sure, why not? My head is hurting.
Yeah. Damon says, well, me and my pal Enzo here would be happy to wipe out anyone off your list in exchange for a teensy-weensy favor. And Reyna says, uh-huh, what might the favor be? And Damon says, well, basically, we want you to die. She says, that's not a favor.
She says, a pass. I mean, my first reaction is no, thank you.
Yeah, my first instinct is to say no.
Yeah.
Damon says, Enzo, tell the lady why this is such an amazing trade. And Enzo says, you're on your last mortal life. And Reyna says, yeah, I know that. Enzo says, what we'd like to do is take that shamanic life and transfer it to Bonnie. We think it will heal her.
Sure.
Like, why the hell not?
I mean, whatever. It's already a mortal life. Who cares?
This is the kind of logic that is so Vampire Diaries coded.
Especially this season, it's just let's transfer everything. Let's just move everything around.
Take this life and move it over here. And it's like,
Yeah.
okay. I mean, if you say so.
We can transfer babies, we can transfer scars, we can transfer whole lives,
Why not?
transfer souls.
Let's do it.
How about we transfer the vault to an open vault?
Literally. How about that?
Anyone tried that? Has anyone tried transferring Yvette out of the vault? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just saying, the way this season works, maybe it could work.
I'm just saying, I feel like we're in the transfer chapter.
Well, and also, this is the other thing, and I get like, we're meant to believe that it's because it's tied to the everlastings, that it's the special ritual, that this is why they choose this life. Can you not like transfer a regular old mortal life?
Break some really evil person out of prison, a young one.
Or honestly, I mean, I'm glad they don't do this. But if I was Julie Plec, you know, Kat Graham's number one hater,
Yeah.
I would transfer Bonnie into a different person. And then I can fire Kat Graham and not kill Bonnie. Again, I don't want to do that.
I know Julie Plec knows she couldn't get away with that, but I know she brought it up to the
They
writers.
pitched it and they're like, let's just move Reyna's shamanic life.
They're like, Julie, it's season seven, and let's be honest, next one is our last. So
Yeah.
we kind of have to keep her.
It has been like noted that both Ian Somerhalder and Michael Mullarkey were like told they were going to kill off Bonnie at one point. They were like, well, if you kill off Bonnie, I'm quitting.
My men.
So they protected Kat Graham. So we love, particularly like Ian Somerhalder. Yeah. Julie Plec's been wanting to kill Bonnie since season three. Like she wants her dead.
And she has actively killed her multiple times.
But a bad bitch keeps winning.
Yeah. All tongues that rise against Cat Graham shall fall.
Exactly. Reyna says, well, what if you're wrong about, you know, the transferring of the life? And Enzo says, Bonnie thinks it'll work. She's very well read on this stuff. It's like, okay, if you say so.
Well, I don't know if you know this, Raina. We can transfer just about anything.
Listen, I've seen babies transferred. It's going to be okay. Reyna says, if I give up my link to the Everlasting, I'll die. And Daemon says, yeah, but if you don't, I'll kill the Everlasting and you'll die anyway. At least this way you get to be a good Samaritan.
And Reyna, your entire life's work, like 8 lives worth, which you didn't actually live 8 full lives, but whatever, it was 8 lives worth of work, is basically undone. Everybody's out of the stone. And they all ended up in vampire bodies somehow. So that's even fucking worse.
That sucks. except for some reason, Stefan, who got all the vampire bodies, and Stefan ends up in a guy who's just got in a drunk driving accident in the middle of a blizzard. That is just Stefan's luck.
It wasn't personal, it was just odds, but like there was another vampire like 2 yards away, and Stefan ended up in the drunk driving, like bus killing body.
Yeah. It's just so funny.
Oh, it's fucked up. The universe, it do be laughing at him.
Oh yeah, the universe do be laughing. Reyna says, is this really your best sales pitch?
I mean, yeah.
Like, what do you think?
Like, girl, we don't really like you.
We don't really give a fuck what happens to you.
Yeah, we're definitely ranking Bonnie above you.
Enzo says, ignore him. He's the bad cop. I'm the good cop. Again, that's a nitpick. If you're going to do good cop, bad cop, you don't want to call out the strategy. Enzo says, here's what I've got to offer. You've been chasing vampires every day of your 8 lives. Then a couple of renegade heretics went and blew up the Phoenix Stone. And now a bunch of its prisoners are on the wind again. So, for the rest of your remaining days, you will have to chase those vampires till the end of the earth, until you're too old, too weak. And you know what? You'll probably die before you can finish the task you've been compelled by destiny to complete. Daemon says, or you can let us do your dirty work over the next few days, and you can die with quiet in your mind, peace, and a smile on your face.
Hm? And she's like, you know, that is compelling.
Yeah, she said, that does sound good.
So I would like to take a nap.
Yeah. Reyna says, throw in a cheeseburger and you've got a deal. Reyna says, prove it. Prove you can kill the ones on my list in progress, clear them from my head, and when I can think better, I'll consider your deal. And Daemon says, awesome, give me the list. She gives him the stack of papers with a bunch of symbols on them. I don't really know what he expected.
Yeah, I don't know why he thought it was going to be like a list and coordinates or something. Like, be serious.
Daemon says, you couldn't maybe use one of those psychic connections to conjure up a Google map or anything, huh?
She's like, no.
She says, the way I see it, those pills you've been using on Bonnie will wear off in the next 48 hours, and the armory will come calling for her. That's if the withdrawal doesn't escalate her illness, and those vampires could be anywhere. You'd better get started. It's unclear. Again, the pills effects are so confusing because it's like, usually we know that vampire blood leaves your system in about 24 hours. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, the pills take about 48 hours. But then also you'll get scabs. And do the scabs relate to not taking the pills, or would the scabs have come anyway? Is it the withdrawal? Like,
how does not taking the pills make the effects worse?
Yeah, at this point, I feel like you should keep taking them.
I get withdrawal is a thing, but withdrawal is usually a different like experience than whatever you're on.
Yeah.
Not that it needs to like make sense in like fucking pharmacology, obviously, but
yes.
Like it's a little busy as a story.
It just feels like she's already taking the pills and she doesn't feel sick yet. And so I get like the temptation to stop taking them, but they're not under the impression that stopping taking them will cure her.
Yeah.
So I feel like you might as well just keep taking them so she's hidden from the armory.
Yeah, well, you figure this out.
I would assume that going off of them might speed up whatever they do.
Especially because if your plan right now is to do this and get Reyna's life, it doesn't really matter if you're like going to get sick a little faster, because you're already like, you've been taking it for 3 years. The damage, it appears, has been done. So you might as well keep the magic at bay while you're doing this for Reyna, and then hopefully before you get too sick, we swap those lives.
Also, I know that this is not the thing I should be harping on, because clearly this is the direction we're going, but if Reyna is so impervious to magic, wouldn't it follow that like they shouldn't be able to transfer anything with her?
I guess they could transfer it from the shaman, but I guess how do you get the shaman without going to the armory? And that's the other thing. Why do you really need Reyna's go-ahead for this?
I know!
She's not contributing to the spell. Well, I guess you need to stop taking the pills to do the spell, because All the heretics are gone.
Oh, yeah, they don't have any other witches. That's true. So that's actually, okay, that's a good reason to stop taking the pills.
We finally found it.
Anyway, now we go to 2.5 years ago at the cabin. So they've been in the cabin about 6 months at this point. Bonnie returns from the woods. She has a camera. So I guess she was going on like a little nature photography walk. Enzo says, hey, because he's on his damn guitar, as he be.
He just keeps sitting with the guitar until something shifts in her.
Yeah.
He said, any reaction to this? Should I pop the shirt off?
Bonnie holds up her phone and she says, look, the girls are growing up so fast. It's a picture of the twins in pumpkin outfits, which implies that it's near Halloween. Let's keep that in our mind. 2.5 years ago, it was fall.
Okay.
I promise that'll pay off later.
Yeah, especially because they didn't need to put them in like an outfit that gave away time at all.
They could have just been in baby clothes.
They could have been in little overalls.
Literally.
The babies did look cute in little pumpkin outfits. I'll say that.
They looked cute.
You know what I bet happened? I bet it's some crew member wanted to put the picture of their babies in it.
I was going to say.
And they said, I got to pick the pumpkin. And then they're like, oh, they didn't think that one through.
Yeah. I don't think they ever were like, oh, I think they were like, I'm not thinking about that.
Cute picture.
Yeah. Aw, babies. 2.5 years ago. Enzo says they look like footballs in pumpkin costumes. The crew member said, hey.
Yeah, the person who's like, who hates that crew member is like, oh, I gotta write a little line for Enzo.
Yeah. Enzo says, what have you got there? And Bonnie says, blueprints of the armory's underground levels. You ever been down there? And Enzo says, oh, no, actually. Alex said they were sealed off.
Not very familial behavior from Alex, as usual.
Exactly. Bonnie says, I wonder what's down there. She doesn't come to the conclusion of Vault on her own ever.
She's just like me.
Yeah. She says, the armory collects things, right? Every museum has an archive where they keep their really good stuff. Enzo says, what sort of good stuff? Bonnie says, I don't know, unique things, one-of-a-kind things, the outliers of a collection. Enzo says, outliers. And Bonnie says, maybe that's why they wanted Elena. Which, again, we kind of have to remember that the armory technically has possession of Elena, but they have her in New York, so I guess they're safe. Who knows?
Like, they know where she is, and it doesn't seem like they want anything to do with her.
Yeah, they don't seem to give a fuck.
We all made a big deal in season 4 about how if anyone knew about the cure to vampirism, it would be like this crazy thing. Although maybe they don't know that she's cured.
That's true. Maybe the armory doesn't know she's cured.
They just think it's a doppelganger and they heard a little bit about the spell, and they're like, we don't need the details. You had me a doppelganger.
They're like, and we know that the sun and the moon curse is fake, by the way. We've known this whole time.
And it's like, okay, so do we.
Yeah, I learned that too.
I learned that when we broke the curse.
So, Enzo says, oh yeah, a doppelganger. And Bonnie says, and Reina Cruz. Enzo says, a shamanic huntress with multiple lives. And Bonnie says, and me. And Enzo says, a terrible guitar player. But it's also funny because all these examples are not, if this is the example of like the things that would be in the basement, none of them were in the basement. So,
yeah.
Anyway, Enzo picks up the letter from Damon and says, hey, you still haven't burned this? How sexy do I have to look with my guitar?
What do I have to play on this guitar to get you to burn this letter?
Literally. Bonnie says, every day I mean to and every day I decide not to. And Enzo says, you know, I know it's not a competition, but he also left me. We were best mates, side by side in Augustine cells for 5 years, each other's only friend. We each gave each other hope. And then one day, instead of implementing an escape plan we formed together, he left me in a burning cage to die.
He's like, you know, I haven't brought this up in a while, but I'm starting to think you guys like forgot.
Yeah.
Because this was a big deal.
He's like, I don't want to downplay how upset you are, but I do just want to reiterate that he did leave me in a fire, which I just think objectively is worse.
I'm not trying to rank them, but if I had to, you know, I think it was worse for me than you. I'll say it. Not that I'm trying to win, but I would.
I just feel like you keep forgetting that I also was betrayed.
Like, remember to care about me.
Yeah. Enzo says, believe me when I tell you, I know how you feel. Let me just spare you the 50 years of mental anguish. It's not you. It's him. It's just who Damon is. So stop wasting all your time trying to figure out if it's something you did. Someone like you, with all that fire and passion and loyalty, you deserve much better than that. Hurt eyes.
Cute. And so this took you 50 years to figure out? I mean, Enzo, you need so much love.
I mean, and Bonnie needs so much love too. I mean, this is why this couple is so good, is they have both been put on the back burner by so many people in their lives. They have so much love to give if anyone would treat them right. And now look, they're both being treated right.
Finally, it's what they both deserve, because these are my, I mean, these are my two bitches, okay? I've never said anything bad about Enzo. I'll never say anything bad about Bonnie, even when she does some bullshit.
Yeah, and even when Enzo does some bullshit, you're like, no, I see why he did it.
Yeah, I can defend Enzo with anything.
You can and you have.
I can, I have, and I will.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be easier for me now. I think crawling out of those trenches, but Enzo airlifted me out of the Enzo defender trenches.
Yeah, everything's coming up Enzo.
Finally.
Finally.
After 400 years on this earth.
We go to Dallas, back to Rick's house. And Rick says, yeah, Caroline and the girls left in a hurry. They're trying to stay under the radar until this Raina thing blows over. And Seven says, oh, no, the house is nice. Rick says, thanks. You know, you'd be amazed what you can accomplish when your fiance can compel an interior designer and an entire HOA. And Stefan says, I thought you were out of the game. And Rick says, what do you mean? And Stefan says, the supernatural world. Rick says, we are, but have you ever dealt with an HOA? Also, like, okay, compelling an interior designer is not the same as vampire hunting, Stefan.
Well, like, I'm sorry. If I had the opportunity to compel, I'm not going to stop using that.
Yeah, sorry.
Why would I do that? I'm going to get what I want because I can.
Yeah, especially for things like an HOA. I don't really want to deal with it. I don't want to pay fees. Like,
I'm not going to be in an HOA, like, arguing that I can have this statue on my lawn. I'm compelling them.
Yeah, sorry.
We're not having a 4-hour conversation about it.
That's just simply not what's happening. Stefan says, I have never dealt with an HOA. And then he takes a peep at a calendar Rick has. And it says, Justice of the Peace, 11 a.m. This calendar is my smoking gun for this timeline because eagle-eyed viewers will notice the wedding is on the 24th. A week before the 24th, the 17th, what does it say on that calendar? St. Patrick's Day, which is famously in March.
So explain that to me like I'm five.
it will become better later because I have, this is my smoking gun, which pays off, I'll spoil it for you, on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
But so far, so good, because 2.5 years ago, March to October, those are 5 months apart. Because 2.5 years ago, remember, was around Halloween.
Yeah.
So even that's a little tight for 2.5 years, but it's a small enough amount that that's not a big deal. But this calendar will pay off later. But I just want to say it's somewhere between March 17th and 24th today.
Well, it can't be the 17th because no one's wearing green and no one's getting pinched.
Exactly. Rick says, look, I'd offer you something, but I haven't been to the store in a while. So unless you want a juice box or some string cheese, I suggest we go somewhere else. Stefan says, yeah, I could use something stronger, but I'll take a string cheese for the road.
Stefan says, well, what kind of juice? You got apple in there?
If it's fruit punch, I'm not interested, but apple.
And if it's Honest Kids, don't even talk to me.
Just put it in the trash.
Give me one and I'll throw it out. It's one less for your poor kids.
Exactly. We go out to the car. Enzo, Damon, and Bonnie are now all carpooling together. Damon's on the phone with Raina, and he says, ground control to Raina Cruz, what's our mission? Raina says, I'm sending you towards Texas, where the Hellstone got destroyed. Think of that as the center of the blast. Vampire souls scattered out in all directions, landing every which way. I can see the places they go, the people they kill, things they see with their eyes.
Well, that's the thing. You could just say that all these souls went to vampire bodies, but you just had to have Stefan, like, almost die in a blizzard.
Yeah. I get the fun of putting it in a human body. And again, it's the only way we know how to raise the stakes is to put a timer on something these days. But he could have been put in the body of a vampire who is like an addict and just killed a bunch of people. Marty could have been a vampire.
Yeah.
Raina says, your next target is in Richmond, inside a bright, clean room. And Damon says, oh yeah, I know exactly where that is.
See, this is where it's fair to be glib. Because what the fuck was that, Raina?
That earned some glibness. When you said that out loud, did you think it was helpful?
Okay, girl, I know you're just getting flashes, but you have to be seeing something other than that.
And you have to be serious that, like, you know that's not enough. Bonnie says, please tell us you're going to give us more clues. And Raina says, I will as they come to me. I know it's not a lot to go on. I'm hoping we can put together enough so you guys can prove your effectiveness. Damon says, wow, you guys hearing this? I'm sorry, I'm having a lot of difficulty wrapping my head around this new cooperative team leader version of you. You've always hated us. And Raina says, yeah, but you know what? I'm tired. multiple lifetimes tired. You realize that in over 100 years on this planet, I've never even had one day off? This is so, and this is a completely different timeline to harp on. You're on your 7th of 8 lives, and you've only lived 100 years? How quick do you get killed? And I know we've seen her get killed a couple times pretty fast, but it's like, damn, you could have lasted a little bit longer.
Really wasted those. Maybe if you had, you know, taken some breaks, you wouldn't have gotten killed so goddamn fast.
Exactly. She says, I just want a day without vampires. One free day where I can feel the sun on my face, eat a cheeseburger, watch the ocean, enjoy a few simple pleasures for once, and then go to sleep. And Damon says, you know what? Why don't we circle back to the situation at hand? He said, we're not contemplating mortality at this point. No, I've got a to-do list.
He said, cool. Any more clues on Richmond? You know, since you just said that, download DoorDash on your phone. Get a cheeseburger. Try it out today. But while you're waiting for that, some clues.
Yeah, I would love to know a little bit more about Richmond. She says, oh, I'm seeing a lot of teeth. So we go to Richmond. They're at a dentist office. Aha. What they're trying to do here, because they bring us to a couple different locations. We'll get to the montage in a minute. And do like what attempt to be like fun or unique kills. They're really trying to get us back to season one Damon, fun kills. But the thing is, at this point, unfortunately, we are a little bit desensitized to decapitation.
Well, and also, like, I'm all for fun kills in new, interesting ways. But, like, these kills don't, like, cause any sort of reaction. Because it's just, like, I'm coming here to kill this vampire. Okay, they're dead. So it's, like, the body count is high, but the, like, feeling attached to it is, like, less and less.
And the action sequences are not as fun as they have been in the past.
Well, and in these cases, like, when it's just random vampires who you don't know, it's, like, it's obviously a more boring scene to just go in and stake them, but it's kind of like, why did you not just go in and stake them?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you have to have a discussion with these people.
Exactly. So there's a vampire feeding on someone. Damon says, hope word of this doesn't get out. People already hate going to the dentist.
So can you just move?
He snaps. He's like, girl, I went there. I went there.
He's like, I had that as soon as I heard teeth.
He said, ooh, I got a dentist one. Damon fights the vampire. Again, not immediately staking him. The vampire fights back because he's strong and big. So then Enzo comes in, also gets tossed. Bonnie comes in and shoots a stake at the guy's ankle. Damon says, his heart's not in his ankle, Bonnie. And Bonnie says, shut up, this thing has a kick.
She's like, why didn't you just snap his neck? Then we could practice.
Damon and Enzo hold the vampire, one arm each. Bonnie tries to shoot again. She doesn't get as hurt. She gets his stomach. The vampire breaks Enzo and Damon off of him, but Damon then decapitates the vampire with a wet floor sign.
Which is cool.
That is fun. I like that. That's the best kill we'll get all week. Damon says, that wasn't so hard. Now we go. Are you ready to be vindicated on my St. Patrick's Day smoking gun?
I'm ready for the reveal.
So we go to the cabin, and the Chiron says, 1.5 years ago. We later find out this is New Year's Eve. So number one, the last time we went to the cabin, mind you, it was 2.5 years ago. So a year before this, It was October. So that's a couple months off.
It's like, it's you know, maybe we're just guesstimating 1.5, 2.5.
I mean, we're guesstimating plenty. But then this is 2.5 years from St. Patrick's Day. That's not true. Because... December, that brings us conclusively to June. Merch is dead in the middle of January and June. That is not a year and a half. It's not 2.5 years. Ha ha! That's my whole, you do not seem excited about it.
It's like, yeah, it's probably wrong.
But we've known the timeline is wrong. Who gives a fuck?
I think you built it up a little too much in the last bit.
I think I did.
Because don't get me wrong, it is a get.
Yeah.
You got her. You did get Julie Plec there.
She did show me a lot of calendars and give me a lot of specific dates, which was her problem. It's like she wanted me to get her. There's jazz playing. Bonnie and Enzo are both having red wine. Sexy beverage, let's just say.
They're setting the mood.
And, you know, Enzo's standing there in his V-neck with his red wine. He's looking a little slutty.
He's slutting it up.
Enzo says... get up, it's New Year's Eve, we're having dinner, and for the love of God, put on something besides these abhorrent sweatpants. Bonnie says, why do you care about my sweatpants? Enzo says, I'm instituting a dress code for the holiday. He just wanted to wear his tux.
He said, look, I'm wearing a tux, you have to somehow meet me in the middle, because I'm going to look dumb if you don't.
Also, I need time to hang up all these lights.
Yeah. So hopefully it takes you 3 hours to change.
Yeah. Bonnie changes into a dress. She says, this is the best I could do. She comes out and there's twinkle lights all over.
And I'm screaming.
Yummy.
I mean, it's cute. Enzo says, I thought you deserved a proper celebration. There's a fancy dinner laid out. We cut to after they finish eating because it's like The Bachelor. They don't want to show us them eating on screen. Bonnie says, there's another timeline thing that pisses me off. Sorry, we're back to my smoking gun. Bonnie says, if you would have told me a year ago that we'd be spending New Year's Eve together, I would have called you crazy. But you've been here.
No, I did notice this because I was like, didn't you already spend a previous New Year's Eve with him? And like, maybe you didn't have a dinner and like spend it together, but like you both live here, basically.
Well, like maybe he was at the Armory on New Year's Eve, sure. But even if like they didn't spend last New Year's together, if you told her last New Year's that they would be spending New Year's together next year, she'd be like, oh, maybe because we do live together. It's not like crazy.
And they could have just said in this line, like, that I would be having a romantic dinner with you. Sure, that would be shocking.
Or even if you had told me 3 years ago, like, what? That pissed me all the way off. And especially after I noticed the calendar and I was counting months, yeah. I was like, but you were in this cabin a year ago.
Like, okay, whatever. We're just saying anything.
Like, the timeline means nothing to you people, clearly, but...
Like, you might as well have just made the Chiron for the time jump later.
Yeah.
Like, there's no rhyme or reason.
Some time ago.
Yeah.
Enzo says, you've called me far worse in the past. Ha ha ha. Bonnie says, so I was thinking about your cousin, whatever you want to call her, Alex. She said she never wanted to discuss her siblings, but her sister Virginia's journal talks about how close they were.
Well, I love how he went, she said she never wanted to discuss her siblings from she doesn't have any other family. When did the siblings come up?
And also, how then did you know she had a sister named Virginia enough to find this journal? I mean, maybe he just came across the journal.
I think we have to assume that at some point she told Enzo she had siblings.
But then wasn't he like, but you told me you had no family.
I'm sure she was just like, I didn't trust you yet.
She's like, well, I lied.
Yeah.
Likely thing for me to do.
The two things I do, I lie and I put stuff in jail cells or boxes. If I could put a lie in a box, I would.
And I have. Just kidding. That was a lie. Enzo says, what else does Virginia say? And Bonnie says, oh, she's kind of off balance. She seems to hate everything your family stands for. And Enzo says, at least she knows what that is. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, he's like, at least she knows what to hate.
Bonnie says, why do you care? They abandoned you, left you in a workhouse. And he said, yeah, thanks for reminding me.
He said, I know.
I'm trying to be romantic. Enzo says, you have two parents, right? I'm sorry, had. I know your dad died. So they talked about that. Enzo says, I had none. Curiosity about what they stand for is what keeps me from hating them for leaving me.
I would still hate.
Yeah, I can hate. He says, what? And she says, nothing. You know, it's just like, after all this time, I think I'm finally starting to understand you. I'll love Bonnie. He's been singing the same song for years.
Nothing new here.
Open book.
He has not been able to hide a single thing. Alert clocked this immediately.
I love it. Deep and obvious loneliness. I think about it all the time.
So does Enzo.
Yeah, literally. They drink some champagne.
Went from sexy beverage to sexy flirty beverage.
Exactly. Enzo gets up and he holds out a hand and he says, may I have this dance? Bonnie says, really? Bonnie, get your ass up and dance.
Be in love.
Don't be so guarded. Bonnie takes his hand and says, okay, why the hell not? They start to dance. And Bonnie says, okay, so back to the journal. And Enzo says, that is enough research for one day.
He said, girl, no.
He said, I don't give a fuck about the journal.
I've had 4 glasses of champagne. I'm feeling romantic.
Yeah. Bonnie says, it's all I have to occupy me. And he says, all. And then we get a cut of his hand on her back. It's like, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bonnie says, oh, not all, you know, not counting guitar practice. And Enzo says, getting better. And she says, and the fire building. And he says, you're nearly an expert. She says, and now this, old people dancing. And Enzo says, quite so. And then he dips her because he says, listen, bitch.
I may be old, but you're not going to call me old.
Yeah. When she comes up, it's sexy. They're exchanging longing looks. And their faces get very close, but no one makes the move to kiss. And it's like, guys.
Grow the fuck up. I'm sitting there yelling at my screen, kiss. It's not even funny anymore. It's serious.
You've had wine and champagne and a fancy dinner. There's twinkle lights. He's in a tuxedo. It's New Year's Eve. I can understand Bonnie being like, dense enough to be like, I don't want to read into this. Enzo, you have orchestrated this whole evening. At least close it with a kiss.
At least go for the kiss.
Literally.
I guess to be fair to Enzo, he's like, I set this all up. Ball's in your court, queen.
Yeah, bitch, you need to kiss me.
Like, I've done enough.
Enzo lets go and says, well, as lovely as this evening has been, I really must get going. And Bonnie says, it's not even midnight yet. She was like, I'll kiss you at midnight. That's easy.
She was like, I was warming up.
Enzo says, yeah, I've already stayed too long. You know, if I don't show up, Alex will wonder where I am. And Bonnie says, oh, yeah, I forgot. Being a double agent must be a full-time job. He kisses her kind of on the cheek, but really close to the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Gives her one last chance.
Targeted.
And he says, happy new year. And he starts to go. She smiles. She does not turn around to watch him leave. And he is walking out that door slow as hell.
He's like walking out the door slow, staring at her like, are you going to turn the fuck around? Like, I just kind of served. What are you looking at?
It'd be so funny if he was like, what? And she's like, what? And he's like, what'd you say? She says, nothing.
If he just went, I'm good.
No, I'm good.
Oh, bless you, Bonnie. Oh, you didn't sneeze? Okay.
Okay. I guess I'll head out then. And as he closes the door, she says, happy new year. So no kiss yet.
Whispers it, basically. She's not ready. She'll get there.
Only a matter of time. We go back to the present day at a diner. Stefan's phone vibrates and Rick says, you're not going to answer that? And Stefan says, yeah, Damon and I are in a bit of a timeout. And Rick says, really? Like, after all that trouble we went through to get that psychopath out of your body?
Rick says, I need you to know that, like, even if you're fighting with Damon, I'm not your fucking best friend now.
Yeah.
This is Meredith Fell when Rick died. She's like, I'm not in this. I'm not taking this place, okay?
This does not alter the fabric of your group. I'm not entering.
Yeah.
Stefan says, well, he's half the reason that psychopath was in my body in the first place. A little less than half, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on.
I'd say it's half Mary Louise and Nora.
And then at least a quarter Valerie.
At least a quarter Valerie. So almost it's a quarter Damon's fault.
Yeah.
But I would say it's a quarter Valerie and maybe like 10 to 15% Stefan for, you know, standing in an open airfield.
You hunted and you're not hiding. We've said it, but just like, let's revisit.
Yeah. Damon calls again, and Stefan says, you know, the last few days have been a painful reminder of the complicated nature of our relationship. And Rick says, I don't really give a fuck. I'm going to ask the question I want to ask. So, Stefan, what happened? 3 years ago, you told Caroline you'd be with her when things were safe. Raina got locked up, and you never showed. And Stefan says, well, that's not exactly how it went down. Isn't it, though?
That's how Caroline experienced it, so I'm thinking that's yes.
Yeah, Rick says, well, that's how it went down for Caroline. And Stefan says, there's more to the story. And Rick says, nothing you felt like sharing? And Stefan says, not at the time, no. And Rick says, but now you're ready. Right, that's why you're here. Forget you couldn't even manage a postcard these last 3 years. And it's like, oh.
Caroline did not tell you about those letters. Of course, this season is such a fucking mess. I'm like, did the writers forget about the letters? So I didn't even know if I should read into it.
Rick says, but now that she's built a new life, there's a wedding on the books, and you're just popping in to share your side of the story?
The wedding timing is pushing it for sure, but it's also because, like, he can see her now. So it's not like he came just for the wedding, although the wedding pushed him, to be sure.
Yes, absolutely. Which, you know what, it should.
Needs to push him to get off his ass.
Mm-hmm. Stefan says, I made a choice back then, and I think she deserves to know what and why. And Rick says, wow, that's really nice of you, Stefan, because I think she deserved to know the what and why, you know, before you stopped calling, before you broke her heart. Damon calls again, and Rick says, will you just answer the damn phone?
Stefan, don't make me defend Rick being engaged to Caroline, but Rick's like, a little too late, bitch.
Yeah, you know what? Rick, what I will say that I love about Rick is he's fighting for Caroline. He's defending her.
Rick in general, like, he's not really watching out for feelings. He's like, that was some bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it was some bullshit.
Especially because Stefan and Rick have never been besties. Stefan's never really been done anything of note for Rick.
Well, and you know, even if Rick were not in love with Caroline, he's gotten to know this person who's like raising babies, who was deeply hurt by someone. Of course he'd be pissed.
Yeah. And I mean, Rick knows what it's like for your wife to leave you.
In multiple ways.
Yes. Stefan does answer the phone and he says, what? And Damon says, where are you? Stefan says, trying to pick up the pieces of my broken life, and something tells me you're about to disrupt that.
You broke your own damn life.
Yeah, you broke your own life. Don't blame it on Damon.
I know you got the scar, but there were 3 years where that scar was not actually active, so who did what here?
And I know Damon desiccated and didn't help, but you know what? You're back in your body and you have no scars, so it's kind of all's well that ends well at this point.
Yeah.
Damon says, Gold Star guess. I need some backup. Any chance you can get your hands on a vampire arsenal? And Stefan says, probably. Why?
Yeah, Stefan looks at Rick like, oh, man. Now I wish I wasn't with Rick.
Yeah. Damon says, long story. It involves Reyna and some pretty nasty Phoenix Stone vampires, and I'm trying to save someone who hates me. It's not that long a story. It's actually just as long as that sentence.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Stefan says, which one who hates you? There are so many. And Damon says, Bonnie's in trouble, Stefan. I know you don't owe me anything, but I really need the help. And Stefan says, well, I'm with Rick. Just tell us what we can do. And Rick says, us?
Rick says, I didn't fucking volunteer.
Yeah. All I did was come to a diner.
I was busy the past couple days anyway, and I just told you I haven't been grocery shopping in a while. I have plans after this.
I have things I have to do.
And I care about Bonnie, but, you know, not so much that I want to disrupt my whole day again.
Yeah. So then we go to a montage of killing vampires. Throughout the montage, we can see Reyna making notes at the cabin. We go to Oklahoma City on a golf course. Rick pulls up in a golf cart and says, hey. And then Stefan, vampire, runs and pulls the vampire's heart out and says, four, and hits the heart. Fun.
Yeah, he's having fun with it, even though Alaric is like, I hate your ass.
Rick did not laugh.
Yeah, he's like, that's not fucking funny.
Then we go to Charlotte. Enzo pulls a heart out and tosses it in a trash can that Bonnie is holding. Damon decapitates a guy and throws the head into the trash can like a basketball.
Very sporty today.
And then we go over to Wichita. There's like a greenhouse. Stefan and Rick kill the guy. Not much there. And then we go to Atlanta, and Bonnie and Damon each shoot a woman like into a bunch of chairs. It's like a warehouse. And that's the end of the montage. Just four kills. Damon says, you know, this Bonnie and Clyde and Clyde routine is starting to improve your aim. And Bonnie says, yeah, I just picture your face as the target.
And he says, ouch.
And then Enzo is just walking around the warehouse, wandering about with a steak like he's looking for a vampire. And he sees Alex. Alex is there.
And he's like, oh, hey, girl.
He said, ah. Alex says, I've been looking for you, cousin. We can see that Damon and Bonnie can see that Alex is there talking to Enzo enough to hide. Enzo says, I am flattered. And Alex says, you know, it's not too hard to find you, seeing as you've left a trail of vampire corpses across the southeast. She says, and before you think about hurting me, my team knows where I am. One text from me and they'll storm the entire building. Well, I can kill you before you get a text out.
Yeah, you're not necessarily going to be that fast of a texter out. Let's see you text once I shoot you.
I'll just break your phone and then kill you.
Not that hard.
But he has no desire to kill her at this time. Alex says, somehow I don't think you want that. And Enzo says, it makes no difference to me. I'm here alone.
He said, I'm going to say that explicitly.
Yeah. Alex says, doing what? And he says, shopping for chairs, of course.
He said, it's a chair warehouse. Why else would I be here?
Alex says, you know, you can't keep hiding her from me. And Enzo says, I don't control Bonnie's movements.
Enzo said, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Enzo says, who? Alex says, so it was her idea to go undercover at the psych ward. And Enzo says, what?
A psych ward? That doesn't sound very safe.
Alex says, there was an incident in my sister's hospital yesterday. I was notified with all the details. Virginia often has violent episodes. That's why I had her committed after she killed Lucy Bennett.
Ooh, that's a drop one. But if she has violent episodes, how do you know this one was Bonnie?
Well, I'm pretty sure the psych ward was probably like, yeah, there was a violent episode. She was saying, like, you're a witch. Don't let her open that vault.
Yeah, that's true.
And we know that Bonnie was going by a fake last name, but a real first name.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very possible that they're like, yeah, but also I guess they wouldn't tell Alex the name of this other patient because that breaks confidentiality. Although this was a poorly run hospital, so maybe they do.
Maybe they're just saying whatever on the phone. Anyway, sorry to Lucy Bennett. Went from friends with Catherine to dead.
Rough life. Alex says, oh, you didn't know? And Enzo says, why on earth would I have known that?
Enzo's like, why would I give a shit?
He's like, I don't know her.
Who is Lucy Bennett? I mean, I have a guess based off the last name.
Yeah. Alex says, 4 years ago, Virginia forced Lucy to seal a vault in the armory with magic. Only problem was, her other sister Yvette was still inside when they closed it. I need to get her out. Bonnie can help me do that. This is interesting because Virginia seemed to imply that this vault had been there for a long time, but she closed it 4 years ago. So why do you think Virginia closed it with Yvette inside? Do you think that was purposeful or accidental and she just wanted it closed?
I think there's probably something else in there that she wanted it closed on, and it was like, well, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make if Yvette's in there. Because it does, you know, sound like something else is in there, obviously.
Enzo says, hey, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be callous. But unless that vault has a well-stocked kitchen, I'm pretty sure your sister died of starvation within 4 years.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know how to say this without sounding mean, but I don't think she's a concern anymore.
Yeah, I have a little bit of an obvious question. Alex says, no, actually, you're wrong, because something has kept her alive in there. I can hear her voice calling to me for help. It's my fault she's suffering. So what do you think is in there, and why is it keeping Yvette alive?
I don't know how it's keeping Yvette alive. I mean, we have to throw out the possibility of a vampire, that it's keeping her alive for blood.
That's true.
But then how are they keeping her alive? I guess maybe vampire blood can heal starvation. That seems like a reach.
We also don't know how big the vault is, if there's other things in there.
Yeah.
Maybe there are things that they can feed.
Well, and I'll say this. Just because you can hear her voice does not mean she's alive.
Oh, interesting. What are you implying?
Something could easily be mimicking her voice. Or, you know, we saw this with Shane. He thought his wife was talking to him. She was dead as hell.
That was a spell.
So I am not convinced Yvette's alive.
Interesting.
Because also, you know, she's clearly burying the lead here. She's like, I want to get Yvette out. You locked a whole vault. And yeah, Virginia's in a psych ward. But something was important enough that she felt it locked a vault. And you're not mentioning what it was. And if it wasn't something scary or important, you would have said that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Virginia went crazy and thought this random thing was spelled, but it wasn't. She was just like crazy. So she locked this and her sister inside, and we want to get them both out. And like, that would be enough of a lie that it covers what Virginia's saying. But you're not even saying what else is in there. You're obviously hiding something.
Do you think Alex knows what else is in there? Or do you think she had been in before it was closed? Or do you think she had never gone in there? Do you think like it was somewhere that Armory's staff was regularly going and working? Or do you think it was kind of an area where no one went down to pre-sealing?
I think it was an area very few people went down to, but I think Alex knows exactly what's in it and has been in there.
Okay.
And also that it just got locked away 4 years ago. That does edit how strong of a thing it can be. I guess it still could be Enzo's dad. Maybe he was desiccated and then he woke up 4 years ago.
And Enzo's dad is just like a strong vampire?
Yeah.
Do you think Enzo's dad could be something else if you still do think it's Enzo's dad in there? Which I will say, that guess is very like Vampire Diaries coded.
When they said Yvette's in there, I'm like, almost Enzo's dad in a way.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. Enzo's family.
Enzo's family, it's close.
Someone's family.
I mean, I think something is in there and I would lean the way that it's alive.
Yeah.
I do think that Yvette is dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to just actually pick that and say that I believe that the voices, because if I'm evil, right?
Yeah.
Let me set the stage. If I'm evil and I got locked in a vault. Oh, man.
Oh, fuck. I wish I wasn't in here.
What a day. And then I look around. I'm like, oh, you're that bitch's sister.
Like, oh, hey, there's someone else in this vault. Who do you know here? And she's like, actually, crazy coincidence. My sister runs the place. So she's totally going to get me out of here.
So then I'm like, okay, cool.
Like, how you do your voice?
I believe that Yvette has not been calling for shit.
You believe that someone has been calling, but not Yvette?
Yeah. Because again, if I'm evil, I want to get out of the vault. And me saying, hey, it's me, the evil one, that's not going to work.
Classic.
That's just odd. I lucked into a character right here.
Yeah.
She's already pre-built for me. I didn't have to design anything.
Yeah, if I'm evil, I'm like, look, I know I'm evil. So I know that most people don't want me out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to finagle my way.
The other thing I'll raise, because I had this thought and I wrote it down, which this would potentially contradict what I just said.
That's okay.
Maybe Yvette is Natalie Kelly.
Oh.
Since it wasn't Raina.
Bring back the Natalie Kelly guess.
So maybe Yvette's evil herself.
Oh.
I think the options we have are Yvette's dead or Yvette is like was locked up for a reason.
Yeah.
And is evil.
Alex says, I know you can understand that kind of guilt. And Enzo says, well, I'm sure you didn't come here so we could discuss our feelings. Alex says, your situation is untenable. You care for a girl that probably doesn't have long to live. I need that girl to perform a simple spell so I can put our family back together. I feel like you and I could solve each other's problems, Lorenzo. Bring me Bonnie Bennett, and I will do everything I can to save her life. So I have to ask, do you think Alex is telling the truth, or is she trying to shame him?
I mean, I think it's a Shane situation, because she's telling the truth.
I guess that's right. I asked that in the wrong way.
Her whole thing right now is like, look, I just need Bonnie to do a simple little tiny baby spell.
To open a vault that has nothing crazy in it.
To open a vault that has something in it. I won't tell you what. My sister is insane. Maybe from what she saw in the vault.
It got sealed for basically no reason.
It basically got sealed on accident.
Just trust me on that.
And don't ask me any follow-up questions about that. And I'm not going to tell you what's in there, even though you are in the family. And I will do everything I can. Now, I did everything I could for Mary Louise as well. You know, look at my track record.
And she did this to Mary Louise and Nora, like, again, I don't know when the timeline is, but at most a week ago.
Yeah.
Like, Enzo's like, come on.
Enzo's like, you just told me that there was no way around this. You literally used it to threaten me.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you want to help me, but you just said you couldn't.
You'll do everything you can.
Yeah, and I'll do everything I can, like, to make friends. Doesn't mean it works.
Yeah, and I'll do everything I can to win the lottery. Doesn't mean I'm going to win the lottery. We go out to the car. Damon and Bonnie are driving together. They left Enzo in the warehouse. Damon says, Enzo's a big boy. He can take care of himself. And Bonnie says, I don't want to talk to you. Damon says, Bonnie, had Alex seen you, she would have called in her SWAT team, and all this would have been for nothing. We had to jet. Bonnie says, you know what? I'm tired, Damon. I don't feel good. I'm worried about Enzo, so stop trying so hard, okay? She gets a call from Enzo, and she says, oh my god, please tell me you're all right. And Enzo says, don't worry about me, love. Cousin Alex only wanted to have a chat, and then she let me go. Bonnie says, that's not sketchy at all. Is she still looking for me? And Enzo says, of course, she's still banging on about this vault and how we should work together. You know, I actually think she's being sincere. And Damon says, hey, here I thought your new boyfriend was smarter than your last one. Low bar.
Dig it, Jeremy.
Yeah, gotta get a dig it, Jeremy in.
Although he was kind of dumb. All love to him.
His smarts were not his skills, and that's okay. We all have different skills.
Still need him, personally.
Bonnie says, we don't trust her, Damon. And Enzo says, no, not for a second. She's closing in. So after I wrestle myself up a car, I'll meet back up with you and we'll get back to Raina's list, all right? Are you still there? Because no one's talking. Because Bonnie and Damon have both noticed a scab has appeared on Bonnie's hand. And Damon says, yeah, just one problem. And Bonnie says, from what you know about the sickness, how much time do I have left after the first scab appears? Enzo says, a week, maybe less. You don't know.
Yeah, how does he have a timeline? Isn't Mary Louise the first one they've seen die?
Yeah, and he didn't know she was dying until she was just about to die. So he didn't know the timeline. Whatever.
You have to put a clock on it.
You have to put a clock on everything these days.
Got to put a clock on the transfer. That's season 7.
It's like Klaus at the gym. Put a big fat clock up.
It took me a second. I was like, what are you talking about?
Now we go to the cabin 1 year ago.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day or June, depending on when you say it is. There's no clues in this one. Enzo pulls up with coffees. The door is slightly ajar, and Enzo smiles because he hears Bonnie playing the guitar. Bonnie smiles at Enzo when he comes in, and Enzo says, I only heard two dogs howling at the noise. And Bonnie says, hilarious as always. You stayed away long enough. And Enzo says, yeah, I've been busy at work. They have me traveling more than I hoped. I trust your other pastimes have borne more results than your guitar. Bonnie says, well, the fireplace is burning perfectly. And I found something in Virginia's diary. She knew my cousin, Lucy Bennett. She hands him a paper and says, it's a bill from a psychiatric hospital in Asheville, North Carolina. Virginia's been a patient there for the past 3 years. She might have an idea about why the Bennett bloodline is so important to Alex. So this is a year ago. And later we find out that Bonnie had been in the facility for like 3 months. So why did it take you 9 months to get to Asheville?
9 months to get to Asheville and hatch the genius plan of Enzo's my doctor.
Yeah.
Maybe once they kissed, they were like, let's date for a bit before we figure this out.
Yeah, like, I don't want to go undercover yet. I kind of want to hook up for a while.
We've got these pills forever. Who cares? And there's no effects.
We got time. And you know what? That's fair enough. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that as an excuse. Enzo says, color me impressed. And Bonnie says, new year, new me, new mastery over an instrument. So it must be around New Year's. Wait, hold on.
It's a half year after New Year's, right?
Yeah, because It was a year and a half ago, and this is a year ago. It's June or St. Patrick's Day.
Either way, too late to be saying New Year, New Me.
And I thought this was a nothing scene for timeline, but this web gets more complicated.
This web connects us all.
Literally. What the fuck?
Got her again. Kevin,
this is like, she didn't have to say that.
Because it's also, by the way, not a new year, new me, new mastery of an instrument. You've been playing the instrument for whatever, 3 years at this point.
And you haven't mastered it. I guess they need to reference the guitar so then he can teach her guitar and it can get sexy. But all, I'm a writer, let's say. Enzo says, color me impressed. Bonnie says, I'll show you impressive. And then she tries to play a chord and she messes it up. And then he teaches her. Come on.
Layup.
Come on.
Stop giving us timeline clues if it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Like, stop telling me what time of year it is. I don't really care, but unfortunately now I have to call it out because you've given me holiday clues in every single flashback.
Or she's been in the cabin so long, she has no idea what month it is. And so she said, new year, new me, and Enzo was like, it's about to get sexy, so I'm not even going to bring up that it's June.
Yeah, Enzo said, whatever.
I'm going to move right past that one.
Enzo says, oh, let me show you the guitar. He helps, you know, teach her a chord. He says, loosen your hands and strum. Now back to the one chord. There you go. That's it. The one chord. Chords have letters.
Grace took a guitar class.
Yeah, I'm learning the guitar. I'm just like Bonnie in that way. So he's touching her hands. So, of course, then they hold hands. They share some longing looks. And finally, they kiss. This is your
So after he did his little half kiss, it took 6 more months.
Classic Enzo.
Classic Enzo. Couldn't close.
Bonnie moves the guitar aside very gently, and then they make out. They're taking off clothes. It's time. It's happening. Enzo is here.
Yummy.
She's like, we waited long enough. We're jumping in.
Yeah. Then we go to today. We're near Atlanta at this point. Enzo and Bonnie are hugging and kissing, and Damon is looking at them annoyed.
Because he's pissed. He had 2 friends and a brother. His brother hates him, and his 2 friends are now dating each other. Yeah. And he still doesn't have a girlfriend.
His girlfriend is still in that damn coffin.
Yeah.
Damon calls Stefan and says, talk to me about anything, please. I need new pictures in my head. Stefan is in the woods in Huntsville, Alabama, and says, trees, sky, vervain grenades. Damon says, much better, thank you. Stefan says, hey, how's Bonnie doing? And Damon says, well, not as well as she's pretending to be. How's Rick holding up? Stefan says he's circling around the next campsite to lay cover fire and any egress routes. I don't know. His words, not mine.
He said, I don't really know what's happening.
Yeah. Damon says, so he's having fun. Stefan says he's only tolerating me because we're doing this for Bonnie. And if this is how Rick feels, imagine how much worse it's going to be for Caroline.
He said, I'm starting to think that me disappearing for 3 years was really bad. And you know what? Now that I say that out loud, I think of how mad I was at Damon for disappearing for 3 years. And turns out, I didn't desiccate, but I did kind of the same thing. Huh.
And actually, maybe what I did was worse than desiccating, because not only did I disappear for 3 years, I got a new fucking girlfriend.
And not a good one.
And this is already after I ran away to Savannah, which now that I'm thinking about it, that really made Caroline upset. Huh.
Maybe I suck.
He said, I better get my diary out. Damon says, hey, lighten up. You know, anything's possible. Take me and Bon Bon, for instance, getting better every day.
Me when I lie. Also, it's been one day. What do you mean every day?
Yeah. Damon gets another call. It says, oh, got to jump. Raina's got a beat on her nasty little runaways. It's go time. So we go over to Huntsville. I guess Stefan wasn't in Huntsville, Alabama, because Enzo, Damon, and Bonnie go to Huntsville, Alabama. Whatever. Oh, they're in Missouri. We find out later. Like it matters. Anyway, in Huntsville, Alabama, there are some vampires feeding. Damon says, let's get her done. And he throws knives at them. Enzo tackles one and stakes him below the heart, not in the heart. And that vampire says, hey, Lorenzo, don't. Like, I'm a friend. And Enzo says, I don't know you.
Enzo's like, I really don't have any friends. Nice try.
I can't express to you how long I've been in a jail cell.
Yeah.
The vampire says, of course you don't recognize me in this body. It's me, Bo.
I almost got up and cheered. I was so excited. At the same time, I was like, oh, I don't really want to deal with Bo if he's not played by my king, Jaden Kane, who stole the show as Bo.
Exactly. So it's like, oh, this is not my Bo.
Good for Bo that he got, you know, a couple days out. But I was like, this isn't the Bo that I know.
Daemon says Bo the Heretic. Wow, small world.
I love they say Bo the Heretic because they think people don't know who he is, which I'm sure some don't and already forgot about him. Me, I didn't forget.
I'll never forget you, Bo. Daemon says, well, welcome back, and also goodbye. And Bonnie says, no, don't kill him. And Daemon says, he's on the list, Bonnie, so it's not up for debate. And Bonnie says, he helped save Caroline's life and her kids. I'm not going to let you murder him. I mean, yes, he did, but other than that, it's not like he really did anything. Like,
I mean, yeah, he like kind of did, but he didn't stay for the whole spell and he slowed everybody down trying to leave. So it's not like he was a big savior. Like, he helped, certainly.
They don't know him that much. I get that we need to cause a fight with Daemon and Bonnie, but it's like, would Bonnie really give a fuck about Bo? Probably not.
I think Bonnie just wants to fight with Daemon anyway. So it's the same thing of it's like she wants to start a fight. This was there.
Exactly. Daemon says, come on, really? Take a walk. Get a half calf soy. Bonnie says, you still don't even know my drink.
She said, are you fucking kidding me?
Daemon says, by the time you get back, Old Yeller will already be taken out to the burn. And Bonnie says, oh, this is so like you. And Daemon says, which part? Classic analogies?
It's like, Daemon, you can see she's pissed.
And then he vampire runs and pulls out Bo's hurt and says, or that I don't ask permission to do what needs to be done.
Which, fair enough. Again, that's not my Bo.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Daemon made a deal to kill all these people, and he doesn't give a fuck about Bo.
And you know what? I know Bo isn't a heretic at this point, but let's clear them all out. We're done.
Exactly. And he knows that Enzo won't kill Bo with Bonnie saying this, especially knowing that Daemon will do it. So Damon's like, I'm just going to rip the bandaid off.
Yeah.
Outside, they're taking some bodies to the dumpster. And Daemon says, what if bleeding hurt Bonnie doesn't want to take out the next one? And Enzo says, well, this sounds like the beginning of an accusation.
And he's right.
Daemon says, in case you forgot, sparing Bo would have been a huge deal breaker. And Enzo says, good thing you took care of him then.
Yeah, because Enzo's like, good thing I didn't have to do it.
Daemon says, it's what I do. I take care of things and people. I don't give them pills that kill them and let their own stupid judgment put their lives in danger even more. And Enzo says, no, you're just going to lie down in a coffin and hope that when you wake up, the mess you made will be cleaned up. They're both right.
But Enzo's more right, because I get why Damon's mad that Bonnie's in trouble, but Enzo's like, I was trying to help when you gave up on everyone. So, like, you don't really have a leg to stand on with me.
Exactly. Enzo says, I made a mistake. You made a choice. And that really sums it up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Daemon starts a fight and says, you know, I desiccated because I didn't want to hurt my friends, but I am holding you personally responsible if anything happens to Bonnie.
And so it's like, yeah, me too. Like, do you think I don't feel guilty about this?
Yeah, it's a little bit kicking Enzo while he's down. Like, Enzo already feels awful about this.
Well, he just doesn't want them to be happy because he's jealous.
Daemon says, I will hunt you down and rip your heart out of your chest. And Bonnie appears and says, hey, Daemon.
She's like, you are not going to come after my boyfriend right now.
Now is not the time. The boys are still angry and they look at each other, but they don't fight. Enzo walks away.
Mm-hmm.
And Daemon says, Bonnie, it's all his fault, all of it. And Bonnie says, do you really believe that? There's no other factor you can think of.
She's like, I need you to be serious right now.
Daemon says, you want to hear me say I made a mistake? Well, yes, I do, actually.
It wouldn't hurt.
I would start there. Daemon says, okay, fine. I made a mistake 3 years ago, Bonnie. I shouldn't have given up. I shouldn't have run away. And Bonnie says, but you did. And I got over it. And Daemon says, yet you still carry my letter with you. Got her there. She says, yeah, I keep it as a reminder not to trust the wrong people. Got him back.
Nice save, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Even though you are keeping it because you care about him, but nice job.
Nice try. Nice attempt. Daemon says, well, you're not doing too well, sister. Enzo here. And Bonnie says, Enzo has been there for me every single day, hiding me, protecting me. And Daemon says, poisoning you. And Bonnie says, he'll figure it out. Daemon says, and what if he doesn't? And Bonnie says, then I'll die.
Bonnie's like, then I'll die. Like, what the fuck ever?
She says, but at least I'll do it with him by my side. I love him, Daemon. And I know that no matter what happens, he won't leave me. And Bonnie gives Daemon the letter and goes. This is an interesting, I think this is a lesson that Daemon needs to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he sees is he had to desiccate to stay away and not help. Enzo was there the whole time and Enzo made a mistake, but Bonnie is still willing to forgive him and trust him. And so it's a lesson that Daemon needs to learn that, like, it's better to be imperfect and there for someone than perfect with your absence.
you know, you're gonna mess up in any relationship. It's better to own up to it than disappear. Like, people still want you in their life, which you would think he would have learned it already, but guess never hurts to retake the lesson.
Yeah. We go over to a campsite at Merrimack State Park, Missouri. Stefan and Rick are cleaning up a bloody campsite, and Rick says, "This part I really don't miss." You know, the cleanup.
The cleanup and the burying bodies, which, it's in the middle of the woods. You could leave the bodies out.
Yeah. Stefan says, "Yeah, but the part where you helped Bonnie, that wasn't too terrible, was it?" And Rick says, "Don't."
Rick's like, "We're not having fun. Don't get it twisted."
And Stefan says, "Don't what?" And Rick says, "Don't try to get the band back together." Okay, well, they're going to be.
It's back together. You've killed like two or three vampires together today. The band's together.
Rick says, "Yes, all hands are on deck right now, but that doesn't make us friends or earn you a place back in Caroline's life, all right?" And Stefan says, "Well, I think that's something she's going to have to decide for herself." And Rick says, "You're wasting your time, Stefan. Let me tell you a little story. When we moved to Dallas, Caroline joined a book club. Seemed like a good idea. At first, it was once a week, then twice a week. Then she started coming home later and later. So one night, I followed her." And Stefan says, "Sounds healthy." Okay.
Stefan, let him finish the story. Because, you know, we all are hearing the beginning of this story. A 2 times a week book club, we all know it's not a book club.
Yeah. Vic says, "The point is this. There was no book club. Turns out she'd park her car down by the river so she could cry alone."
She's so me.
She's so real. She gets me.
There's nothing like crying in your car, I tell you.
Oh, that's the stuff. And by the river, crying in your car with a view? Mama.
Give me some McDonald's fries next to me.
Get me a milkshake.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm fixing my depression.
Who needs Lexapro? Rick says, "Then something happened. She stopped making excuses to be somewhere else. The girls and I stopped being a placeholder and we became her life." And Stefan says, "Yeah, I get all that." And Rick says, "No, you actually don't. She doesn't want to see you. Trust me." And Stefan says, "You know her pretty well, huh?" And Rick says, "Better than anyone now." And Stefan says, "So who sleeps in the second bedroom?" And Rick says, "Excuse me?"
Rick said, "Don't make me regret inviting you into the house."
I love, Stefan was in this house for maybe 5 minutes and he said, "Can I use your upstairs bathroom?"
He said, "Let me count the bedrooms right quick." I have a hope that I would to confirm.
I'd love to investigate the floor plan a little bit, if you don't mind.
But also because, like, yes, it is a second bedroom that she's sleeping in. But Alaric could have been like, "That's the guest room, dickhead."
Yeah, I wish Alaric had said that.
I do like the confirmation they're not sleeping in the same bed, though.
Yes. Stefan says, "Well, I was at your house. I saw the nursery for the twins. I also saw 2 separate bedrooms. And then I saw an appointment for a justice of the peace, which doesn't seem very Caroline Forbes. So tell me, after you get home from City Hall on Friday, is that when she's going to start sleeping in your bed?" Kind of mic drop, kind of slave from Stefan.
Kind of gagged him. And I did, when we saw the calendar, it just got overwhelmed by your St. Patrick's Day tirade. when we saw the calendar and it said justice of the peace, I was like, interesting that it doesn't say wedding.
Yeah, exactly. Rick says, "That's none of your business." And Stefan says, "You can make your relationship look good on paper, but deep down, it's a lie." Rick pushes Stefan, fair enough.
Yeah, because Stefan, don't you think he knows this?
Yeah, he's sleeping in the other bedroom. He's got it. Rick says, "I know she doesn't love me, but our life is not a lie. All I can do is be worthy of her, Stefan, which is more than you've ever been." Again, this is my other problem. I mean, I have a million problems with the Alaric and Caroline relationship, but I feel like, I've said this before, they went halfway. Either make them both in love or make them both agree that this is like a marriage of convenience. And maybe they don't want to tell Stefan that because they want him to be kept away.
Yeah.
And I get that. But as it stands now, it's like this guy just has a crush on one of his former students.
Yeah. Who happened to magically carry his babies. Like, it's a little creepy.
He's marrying one of his former students who doesn't like him and who is clearly depressed.
Yeah.
Without her being in love with him, him being in love with her is much creepier.
Yeah.
Particularly given the creepiness of Matt Davis wanting to hook up with all the young girls.
It's weird. And don't get me wrong, I didn't want her in love with him, but I don't want him in love with her either.
Yeah, I don't want her in love with him.
But thank God we at least have this. But, you know, why even do this at all?
We go back to the cabin today. Enzo holds the guitar out to Bonnie, but she has more scabs on her hands now. And she says, you know, not to be a crybaby, but these feel a lot worse than they look. I don't think I'll get much playing in. And Enzo says, that's a shame, because you are in dire need of practice. He lays in her lap.
He's so in love. They're so cute.
They're so in love. He plays for her. She watches and hums. Damon is watching them from a distance, looking as sour as can be.
Like, he's so pissed.
Bonnie, like, covers Enzo's eyes, makes him play, and she's like, no, you're peeking, ha ha ha. And Damon is glaring. And again, listen, Julie Plec, if you didn't want people to ship Damon and Bonnie, why are you doing this?
Yeah, why is he looking at her like that?
I mean, because Ian Somerhalder was like, I want Damon and Bonnie to date. So he's acting. He said, I'm making my own choice, bitch. Eventually, you'll have to write it in if I keep the chemistry up.
He said, you can't stop me.
Damon from behind him says, don't mind me. Just going to go get the next name out of the job jar. And he leaves. You didn't have to announce it. They already weren't minding you.
No one was paying attention. We were pretending like you weren't here.
We go back to Dallas. Rick goes into the house and Stefan stays on the porch and says, Rick. And Rick says, you got to be kidding me.
Rick says, go home.
Stefan says, look, this didn't go how I wanted it to.
And Rick says, yeah, me neither. I just wanted to go out for lunch and then I had to travel across state lines, which all happened within a day, apparently.
And actually, I didn't even want to go to lunch.
Yeah.
Rick says, really? You think you can just show up here and everything's just going to magically work itself? And then we see Caroline walk into the foyer.
And Stefan said, well, yes.
Stefan says, Caroline. Caroline looks at Stefan, but then she turns to Rick and says, hey, we just got back. From upstairs, one of the twins says, hey, mommy, read us a story. And Caroline says, in a minute. And Rick says, oh, I can put them to bed if you want to talk, which is a nice offer. Thank you, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
But Caroline says, no, I got it. Happy you're home. She kisses Rick on the cheek. Ew.
I love that she can't even kiss him on the lips with Stefan there. She's like, you know, I want to make him jealous, but I don't want to kiss this dude on the lips.
Yeah, I don't want to get Rick's hopes up.
Yeah.
And Caroline goes. And then Rick closes the door on Stefan.
Stefan's like, okay, bye. He's like, wow, she really is mad at me. He said, damn, I thought she'd at least say hey.
After the door closes, Rick gets a call and so does Stefan. We only see Stefan's call. Stefan says, what's wrong? And Damon says, hey, remember how Raina was going to give Bonnie her last life after we finished her hit list? The good news is she finally said yes to that deal. The not as good news is she added a few more names to the list. And the seller is like full of papers.
Who knows if each paper is a name or if it's multiple clues? Or again, this is when it's like, okay, now we're getting into ridiculous amounts of vampires.
Yes, it just doesn't make sense. It's just, it's not clicking.
Was there like a massive vampire like expression triangle nearby at the same time?
Literally. That is where we end the episode. So two questions that link together. So I'm going to ask them as one. How are they going to complete this list? And will this plan to save Bonnie be successful?
They may kill a couple more vampires. I think it will essentially bring the group back together. We do need to get them all in one place somehow.
Yeah.
Now, that might not be just this, but I think it's a part of it. I'm not sure they'll finish the list because, again, Bonnie seems to be taking a turn.
Mm-hmm. There's only so many of them.
There's only so many of them, and you need a witch to do the spell. The other thing that we want to bring up, if there were a way to save Bonnie, Alex would figure it out because they need a Bennett witch alive too. So, you know, I do think the life from Raina is our best chance right now.
But there might be a little bit more motivation to find an antidote from the armory because I don't think anyone at the armory would have gave a fuck if Mary Louise died.
Yeah.
That's why they were testing on her because they didn't care.
Yeah. So I think there may be some more work happening now that they know that Miss Bonnie Bennett has been, you know, poisoning herself.
Yeah.
So there's still a chance they could figure something out. But I do think, you know, Raina's life is more important. And I think they may have some way to help that spell be easier or like give them the everlasting. And then it's a trade off for Bonnie opening the vault. Now, hopefully they're not stupid enough to not ask any more questions about the vault, but hard to say.
Hard to say. Do you think Bonnie will open the vault?
Yeah, I think the vault will get opened. I just think we're referring to it. We got to get Natalie Kelly out.
That brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, if you are enjoying Vampire Diaries and or Doppelgangers, please tell your friends and give us 5 stars rating and review on Apple and Spotify podcasts.
And follow us on Instagram at Doppelgangers Podcast.
But that's it for this week. Until next week, goodbye, brother.
Goodbye, brother.